Executive Vice President of Communications and Industry Relations for National Milk Producers Federation, Alan Bierga, back with us again today. And Alan, apparently we have good news for whole milk. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so year-end data is in, and once again, whole milk is going up as a portion of what people are choosing in terms of having with their foods, their cereals, their lunches. When whole milk was taken from school lunches in 2012, whole and 2% milk was 68% of consumer sales at retail. Now it's 81%. This is important stuff because the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act was just released, has strong bipartisan support, and has a pretty decent chance, we believe, of becoming law this year. And with that consumer news showing the consumer momentum, you know, politicians pay attention to what the public is doing as well. It really looks like a good year for getting whole milk back in schools.
Boy, and yesterday, big boost yesterday, the nominee for the Department of Ag, Brooke Rollins, testifying in front of Congress. And she said her family drank whole milk. Her mother's going to be happy to hear it, she said. But we drank whole milk every day. And so she's going to be pushing for whole milk as well, if confirmed.
Yeah, you know, one of the issues that was happening last time around was the Senate Agriculture Committee chairwoman at the time, Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, did kind of put the brakes on the effort. Remember, there was a big bipartisan vote in the House of Representatives to pass the thing. A majority of Democrats supported it. There was only one Republican who opposed it. You know, Matt Gaetz of Florida, who is now no longer with us in the House. So this is something that could really sail through the House of Representatives this time. The hang-up was in the Senate, where Senator Stabenow was saying, look, the dietary guidelines don't really recommend this, and we don't want to start passing legislation doing carve-outs in the dietary guidelines. There were some folks that went along with that. It was enough to stall progress for that. But you know, Debbie Stabenow is also gone, and she's been replaced as the ranking Democrat by Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. And Klobuchar supports it. And you're seeing a lot more support in the Senate along both parties for this legislation. And so it looks like it really has a clear path. It's more of a vehicle, the idea of what vehicle are you going to get it into, or does this pass as a standalone bill? But it looks good for whole milk, both at the consumer level and potentially at the policy level as well.
What about to chocolate milk, the flavored milk, chocolate milk? You know, I've seen studies out there in terms of, you know, after exercise, a great recovery. In fact, a great recovery drink, better than Gatorade. But I don't hear much about that. What about that?
Well, what you hear about with flavored milk is it cuts two ways, because you're absolutely right in terms of chocolate milk's ability as a recovery drink. You know, I do a weekend running group, and one week I brought chocolate milk, and some people were like, oh, okay, oh, that's fine. And then one day this person, like, you know, this is a person who in her life was training for the Olympics. This is an elite runner. She saw the chocolate milk and she was like, oh my God, this is the most amazing running stop ever. I can't believe you have chocolate milk. I mean, it's had its reputation for quite some time. And that's one community. But then there's the other community. One of the issues that you run into now is processing, right, in added sugars. And what you run into with the flavored milk is some of these other concerns, and some of it dovetails with the whole Make America Healthy Again agenda. But what you end up with then is this kind of, well, let's hold back on flavored a bit. We would argue that, you know, kids still need nutrition. They need dairy nutrition. And if it's chocolate milk or strawberry or some sort of a flavor, you still have that nutritional benefit, and you have less food waste. And you're right, you also have that recovery capacity. We think in the end the case is pretty strong, but it is a little bit of a more nuanced case than what you get with just good old-fashioned whole milk, which is indeed whole, and what the incoming agriculture secretary's family was drinking when she was a kid. You know, I saw the clip too, Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas holding up his glass of whole milk, and I think the point was made pretty strong in Congress that this is where they want to go, and I think USDA is going to listen.
Alan, what about the newer product out there? I see it in the grocery shelf. Even I haven't, and I'm I used to drink out of the bulk tank, you know, on our farm with the dairy farm. So, you know,
I don't want to get into the raw milk stuff on this conversation. No, we have our concerns.
Yeah, no, and I'm not pushing that, but it's the ultra filtered milk. The I think it's Fairlife that I see there in the dairy case. What's your position on that?
Well, here's the interesting thing about Fairlife that I think a lot of people don't think about. Is, you know, it's a premium brand. It's going to be challenging, you know, for a school to get into its school meal budget. But here's one thing about Fairlife a lot of people don't think about. It's lactose-free. And lactose-free is huge because of diverse populations and lactose intolerance. And you're seeing cooperatives and dairy processors starting to take a look at this as a potential market for a larger market and to deal with some of these social justice and equity concerns you hear from folks on the progressive end of the political spectrum. You know, lactose intolerance is real. If you really want a product that reaches a diverse audience and really gives nutritional equity to all, you give everybody the same product. And in that case, it's going to be lactose-free milk because, you know, it's milk. So what some people would consider a premium product, I think a lot of folks would see as a necessary product to make sure that you have equitable nutrition for school kids. I was taking a look at retail stats. You know, lactose-free milk went up in sales 8.5% last year. I mean, that's a fluid category with an 8.5% gain. If you're working in dairy farming and processing, that's a number you're going to pay attention to. And I think for that lactose-free product, the future is really, really bright. And you bring up Fairlife, which is also doing really, really well. That's an aspect that I think sometimes doesn't get emphasized enough.
Well, and the other thing is, and I scream this across our radio stations all the time, is that most cheese is lactose-free as well, P.S.
Yeah, and that's a piece of consumer education because people, you know, they know that they have a lactose intolerance, and so they avoid all dairy. And that's just not necessary. I mean, many of the most popular varieties of cheese have little or low or no lactose. And lactose intolerance also is a spectrum. You know, some people, they take a pill, they're good to go. Other people have, you know, a real issue with the digestion that's quite serious at any level. So what the way you deal with that is you have a range of dairy products, and that's one area where milk is really strong, right? I mean, you can have whole, you can have 2%, you can have skim, you can have flavored, you can have unflavored, you can have lactose-free, you can have, you know, every need can be met by this product, but what you need is a regulatory and policy framework that allows those needs to be met in those different ways so people can get the nutritional benefit.
But some of these obvious things that you and I know about, you know, you talk about education of the consumer out there. I mean, why don't we hear more about it out there?
Well, you know, people are busy. They're listening to a lot of things, and they're you know, going on their Instagram, and they're part of their Reddit communities, or they're watching, you know, their basic cable package. I mean, the range of information sources make my job really challenging and make it really challenging to get out a consistent message. Yeah, I'm just taking a look at some retail data, and I do think that milk and dairy is making some real progress, but it is slow and steady, and there's a lot of misinformation along the way, and that part of it's not getting easier. In fact, it's getting more challenging because, of course, milk has its opponents, right? And that's the vegan folks, and that's folks who are pushing plant-based alternatives. These are investors who put a gazillion dollars thinking that Americans were going to be drinking all of their beverages made of almonds. They bet wrong, and now they're trying to cover their losses. It's a jungle out there, folks, and it isn't any more simple in the world of milk than it is anywhere else.
Well, and then, you know, you compare the nut milk, you know, the almond milk, which, you know, it isn't milk, and it doesn't have the vitamins and the nutrition that compare it to the lactose-free Fairlife milk. By the way, I about the same prices out there as well, if you're right. Worried about price. And so it's just no competition. I mean, but guess what? The nut milk sells. The almond milk sells.
But I got some news for you. I saw this yesterday. I'm going to tell it to your listeners first. Okay?
All right. Well, wait a minute
that
here.
Sounds good.
Yeah, no, this sounds great. So here we go. All right. Let's hear it.
Once again, last year, fluid milk took more market share from plant-based beverages. Milk, in terms of comparison with plant-based and market share, is now back to its highest level since 2019. We're actually winning this war. And it's, again, a long time coming. It's a lot of consumer education. It's a lot of understanding of dairy's properties versus the plant-based beverages. We've been at it in a lot of creative ways. But look, I started at National Milk in 2018, and at that time, there was a lot of sentiment in the industry of, hey, plant-based is the wave of the future. We got to figure out a way to join this train. Well, we stopped that train, and we're actually slowly putting it in reverse. if we could get FDA to do something proper on the labeling, we could make some even greater progress on this, because that would be a huge part of proper consumer education, right? That's literally the label of the beverage. So that's something we're going to be fighting in the next administration as well. But in the marketplace, you know, whole milk is winning. True milk is winning. The good guys are winning on this one. So we just have to figure out how to keep the momentum going, because it's real.
There we go. That's another sound effect for you. All right. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you.
Wow. The other thing that just struck me here, you were with Bloomberg for years, but 7 years with milk now? Wow.
October 2018 I started. So yeah, we're coming up on 6.5. I was blonde when I started.
Okay. All right. Hey, Alan, it's always great to talk to you. Great information. We'll talk again soon. Okay.
Take care.
All right. Alan Bierge here today, Executive Vice President of Communications and Industry Relations for the National Milk Producers Federation. That is Farm Talk.